connection to that power, then that's insanity. That I need to have that connection. You know, I need to have that conscious connection. So let's just take a moment to just, I know I heard somebody say that God is already here. We're not inviting him in, but we're just acknowledging him. That's the reason why we're here, right? So, and then I want to take that moment of silence, followed by the set aside prayer. Because I found that after being here a while, that I don't think there's not a whole lot I'm going to say other than my own experience connected with this step that we possibly haven't heard it at some point in time. And as a result, I feel like when I come to meet it, I had about 3 years, and I was sitting in a meeting, and I was like, you know, is this it? You know, sitting there like everything really wasn't good. You know, it was a delusion that I had because there were some things going on in my life that I'll share as part of my experience with being insane and not drinking. And I was like, is this all there is this it, you know? And and I looked up, I said, God, I need to hear something at this meeting, I need to take something away from this meeting. And I just sat there, and the last guy I shared, well, the last person, I don't remember whether it was a man or woman, shared, and I just kind of looked up, tears in my eyes, you know, and I said, thank you, you know, because I realized that this was it. There was nowhere else. This was, I need to fit myself, you know. And I like to say sometimes I tell folks, it's like a pair of shoes. You get a pair of shoes, you put them on, you know, and you kind of get used to them. If you like them, I got a shoe stretcher. You know, I walk around on the rug with them for a while, you know, until I can get them to fit. And so this program is sort of like that. You gotta fit yourself. You gotta. And so I want to just take that moment, silence, followed by the set aside prayer. Let's just breathe in, God. Breathe ourself. Let's breathe in, God. Breathe ourself. Let's just breathe in, God. And breathe ourself. God, please help me to set aside everything I think I know about myself and others, about my disease, the 12 steps, and all spiritual terms. Especially you, God, so that I might have an open mind and new experience with all these things. Please help me to see the truth. So once again, I'm eternally grateful. I'll call, my name is Henry. I got sober as a result of about was gonna lose my job, and I went to treatment, and after 4 months, you know, everything was okay. I didn't really understand what Alcoholics Anonymous really was about. I didn't really get into any in the work. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't sit up front. I didn't do anything y'all told me. I just came to meetings and I didn't drink. And that's what we tell people. You make meetings and don't drink. But without having, you know, get involved in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't I just thought that maybe okay, I'm okay now. I could go back to that way of life. And 11 months later, I was the incomprehensible demoralization set in. And I remember standing in front of the union, my union guy. I worked for a union. And I had tears dripping underneath my chin. And I said, I don't care where you send me, but I'm not going home. And that was my first step. And a lot of times I get emotional from newcomers. I get emotional because I always want to remember that. I want to remember that day, that moment, because then and there I knew that My life was unmanageable. I couldn't do it on my own. I needed some help. I needed to get some guidance. And so I had the gift of desperation. And this time, when the gift left, I stayed. I didn't do that the first time. And I stayed with you guys, group of drunks, G-O-D. If you're having trouble with God today, is that gift of desperation, which probably brought you here. People don't usually come to a AA unless they're desperate, something's going on, and then they come to us, a group of drunks, and then y'all gave me some good early direction. I wasn't a very good listener though, but I stayed. I didn't drink this time, and as a result of staying, I was faced with me in so many ways, still wanting to do things my way, wanting my way, and making decisions based on self. And I believe that I believe that I had a connection to a power greater than myself. I believe in God. I didn't have a problem with God. I had had a spiritual religious experience when I was much younger. I was about 25, and but I didn't have a real practice. I didn't have a real connection with this power. And the simplicity of the program Alcoholics Anonymous, in dealing with that connection, is just it's just the simplicity. I work with a lot of newcomers, sober living, and I primarily I'm in we agnostics for the most part. I'm pointing out those things that would my prejudice would get in the way of me having that connection. I like to say, I needed to still clear away. We see through a glass dimly, it's like a mirror. I needed a process to kind of clear away the things that had happened in my life, guilt and the shame, what, my part in it, what people did to me, and as a result, it kept me in sort of a in insanity, a delusion, a way of thinking that they'll apologize, they'll see me for who I am, they'll make the amends, they'll be the ones to make a difference, and that's literally a form of insanity. I wrote down some stuff that I wanted to kind of share: the ability to think and behave in a normal, rational manner, sound mental health, reasonable and rational behavior and soundness of judgment, the quality of being sane, soundness or health of mind, no loose marbles. Here in the program, where I came from, it takes 5 years for you to get them back. It takes another 5 years for you to know how to use them. all those kind of little sayings, how am I coping with my mental stability? I used to say I'm responsible for my emotional well-being, but I kind of changed that today. How am I have a responsibility when it comes to my emotional well-being. There's a part I play. There's something I have to do. Part of my experience with just literally being insane is, I came out the cellar and I said, "Ain't it grand? The wind stopped blowing. My daughter's mother. I'm married 23 years now, my third marriage, and thank God for AA and His grace that I'm married. I have a fairly good marriage as long as I keep my mouth closed and stay out the way and not raise my voice and have these demands. We're pretty good." And the guy in my home group, he passed away with 55 years. His wife used to say, "What do you guys do at those meetings?" He said, "We learn how to keep our mouth closed, and so that's a part of, and that's a part of practicing sanity is wait. Why am I talking? When I should be listening. When I should just pause, and so I come out to sell. I said, "Any grand, the wind stopped blowing." After hurting this woman, keeping up late at nights, not paying the rent, her being concerned. She used to go to her mother's house on Friday after work and wouldn't come back home till Monday when she got off from work. And it's just she wants so much. I deplore you. Something like that. Then I so I got this good job. I'm paying the rent, light bill, gas, Con Edison. I'm doing everything I need to do. And I wanted to I want things to be like they were before, and they weren't, and they didn't get that way, and I didn't give it time, and sanity is being in a spiritual program and having a immoral practicing immorality, being married, and eventually she asked me to leave, I was 37 when my daughter was born. She's about two and a half, three. I was 37 when she was born. So the emotional pain actually drove me to go get into the steps. I remember sitting in a meeting on 87th Street and Western Avenue, down in the basement, in the back room where they had the big book meeting. And reading how it works and just bawling the being the honesty aspect of it, just bawling, just emotional, my guts, just but I didn't know what to do, how to what to do. But I asked a man to help me, and I began to go through the steps. He took me through the first five steps, and with the help of Al-Anon, I was at least able to be amicable with her and with my daughter, and I was always in her life, but with the support and all those things, and learning how just not to make matters worse. And then I had about 7 years, and I'm in a Tower Records, and I got money. I got a good job, and I'm looking at some CDs, and there's the ones that was on sale was last week, and so what happens is I'm there, and I'm literally going, why should I pay full amount when I could have got them on sale last week? And so I'm actually taking and peeling off this sales sticker on the sale and putting it on on the ones I want. 7 years. Money in my pocket, I like to share that because I'm not sure that the strange mental blank spot, but it's not a drink, but it's insane because the behavior is not, it's not sound behavior, it's not soundness of mind, and so that's just a couple of examples of how without a drink we can still make some irrational decisions, and so today, having been around a minute and taking my lumps, making some bad decisions, playing Mr. Big Shot, grandiosity, just stepping on the toes of my fellows, seemingly without provocation, seemingly without provocation, seemingly, it's just real interesting how the best thing I can do today is learn how to stay in my lane and sort of be quiet, and I can allow you to be wrong. I don't have to be right. I think those are us practicing the same behavior, giving other people a room to have their errors and their mistakes. But the reality of it is, if I haven't done the rest of the steps, and I haven't cleared up some things about my character, my where I live. If there's still some things, some those insecurities, those deep-seated insecurities and hurts. Because what I found is, without having addressed some of them, when something comes up, if it looks like, sounds like, seems like, smells like, tastes like, I'm gonna overreact to something that somebody else is doing that I've not addressed, that I've not gotten in touch with. So the need to have a solid second step. I'm working with a gentleman, and so one of the things when I told him, I said, I need you to look up the word cornerstone. He said, I know what cornerstone means. And so I said, I asked you to look it up, and then he just keeps going on. But I like what he said about it, but I said to him, that's how you relate to it. Well, what is the meaning of it? And so his relation to it was like, and he drew a little line that he ran into the cornerstone that was there. And then from that point, he had a change, his life changed, and he had a different trajectory. And he drew a line like this, like an L. And I thought it was pretty cool. And I think from that cornerstone, we know what the cornerstone is. A wonderful spiritual structure can be built. When I'm working with somebody, and mainly for myself, I planted my flag. I planted it. House burned down, mama died, daddy died. I lose it all, job. Wife says I'm done. That's where I land. I have to have a place, and I try to. You got to have a place that you can go back to that you're not going any further. You got to build that foundation, and building it. It has to be. And if you knew, I hope you can get this. I'm not trying to scare you. It's not a. I'm not preaching. It's not a God. Like a religious program, but we like to call it God. And like I said, you can call it good orderly direction, group of drunks. You can make it what you want, but there needs to be that landing place. I need to have that place when I was diagnosed with cancer. When my mother got dementia, and when my daughter called me, when a friend called me when she's on a gurney at the hospital where she overdosed, but she was able to recover. You got to have a place you go to, and it can't be this. And it can't be a needle, it can't be a pill. You got to have a place where you go to, where you planted your flag. And you got to say, but God, if you don't intercede, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I've tried my way. It's not a program where I got sober in a little room, 96th Street and Broadway. There was a sign on the wall said, trying to figure it out is not a step. I'm done with trying to figure it out. That's when I got to just sit still. I was reading something today, and I think it bears for me to share it. It says it's a delusion to think that we can obtain more of God by contemplation or by pious devotions or by religious retreats than by being at the fireplace or by working in the stable. And I added to it, I send out little texts about 20 guys every day. And I said to chop wood, carry water. Yeah. And it's been a journey. I mean, I've made some decisions. My wife now, her oldest daughter, really said some things that hurt me, really, and I thought my wife should have kind stepped up, and as a result, I was looking for something she was incapable of giving. I'll never forget, I had 30 days, and Miss Louise Harvey, she's gone, 63 years sobriety. Thank God for her. And she said, she told the psychiatrist on a last flight deck that she drank because her husband didn't love her the way she wanted to be loved. And he said, maybe, she said, maybe he was incapable. And so, I can see through the practice of these steps that how others, they don't, I'm wanting something from folks that don't have the ability to give it, And why am I wanting? What is driving me to expect that I can get something from someone else to meet a deep inward need that I have, that without having that connection and without feeling the fulfillment of what life has to offer through this connection with this power that we tend to call God, is going to continually lead me to make foolish decisions and act insanely. I find that if I take my own inventory on a regular basis, that I'll let you off the hook. I'll let you off the hook. And because I can take a look at myself. And what is the measuring rod God is holding? What is the measuring rod? So my ability to practice 10 step gets me look at myself on a regular basis. And due to having a conscious connection through 11, helps me to be able to pause and wait. Why am I talking? If I can just pause and wait, there's a thing I learned to do that helped me is just to say, excuse me, and give the person a chance. Either they're going to repeat what they said, or they apologize, or it'll be a little clearer. But one of the things, saying excuse me, it gives me a chance to pause and respond as opposed to reacting, and I'm gonna read the last paragraph. I'm gonna start from there. So sanity is defined as soundness of mind. Yet no alcoholic soberly analyzing his destructive behavior, whether the destruction fell on the dining room furniture or his own moral fiber, can claim soundness of mind for himself. Therefore, step two is a rallying point for all of us, whether agnostic, atheist, or former believer. We can stand together on this step. True humility and an open mind can lead us to faith, and every AA member is an assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to Him. And that's a challenge, of having enough humility on a daily basis that I can stop playing God. I was blessed to be at the Appalachian Roundup and hearing Charlie Parker's last talk. And I think his most famous saying is, you can get alcohol to quit drinking quicker than you can get them to stop playing God. I guess it's sort of somewhere in our DNA. If you believe that you're created after this particular being, this God that, we call, if we feel like we is children, then that means there's something that in us that comes from that place, that spiritual connection, and that I'm always gonna see the thing I know what's best that that I get that I know what's best for. It's interesting that we get here. I say we get here and after being here a while, we think we know what's best for not only for you, but for me, for I know what's best. I was looking, there's something called the 12 steps when I got here, that the last one is real interesting, and I thought I might find it to read it, but I must have took it out of my book. I had so much in here. Yeah, but anyway, it said talks about acting habit had a spiritual. Did I get my 5 minutes? Yeah,
Yes, sir. That's up in the corner.
okay, great. Oh, I'm down to 28 seconds. I've gone that long. My goodness, I didn't think
Sorry.
so.
It's
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm into after having had a spiritual awakening, is I know what's best for me and you, and if you just let me run your life, something like that. It was funny, but anyway, I didn't realize. Hopefully, I've shared some hope, because that's a spiritual principle beside for hope. I mean, for the second step is having hope. So hopefully, I've given you some hope by hearing other people's experience, my experience, that you have some hope that you can trudge with us. You can walk with purpose with us. You can align yourself with us to walk this thing out and fit yourself to be a maximum service to God and others about you. And that's where you'll find your happiest joy. I've grown into the man that God would have me as a result of being able to be there for other men and working with them. And we say you give it away to keep it, you give it away to get it. That's how you get it. When you're working and you're giving it away, I'll end with this. So you got a pie, you take a slice is what you know. There's another slice is what you don't know. And the rest of the pie is what you don't know that you don't know. So I want to thank you all for having me today, and hopefully I've shared some hope. God bless you.
Henry, thank you so much.